Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Grace Point. Thank you for worshiping with us today. I just echo what Pastor Guy said, and as Isaac prayed, we remember those today and also tomorrow, certainly, and even beyond, who lost their lives, gave their lives defending our freedoms. We are thankful, and as Grace Point Church, we want to remember certainly today and tomorrow and in the days ahead. I want to share just a few announcements with you, then we're going to jump into the message, and there's a lot to do here. Let me just remind you, Children's Camp is this week, so we'll be out at Camp Copus this week. We're looking forward to a great week out there, so if you've signed your kids up, we look forward to seeing you out there Tuesday morning as we begin our Children's Camp. Last year we didn't get to, so we're looking forward to this year, and a great time, worship, Bible study, and a lot of other things we'll do together as a family out there at Grace Point Church. So be praying. I hope you'll be praying for Children's Camp this week and leaders that'll be out there and the kids that'll be out there. Vacation Bible School, let me remind you of that. Also, if you haven't signed your kids up, we'd love for you to do that as soon as possible. GPSignup.com, GPSignup.com. Everything's going. We're pushing everything to that one place. You can sign up for Vacation Bible School there. GPSignup.com, end of June, June 21. So it's coming. Also, if you want to get text blast, just a way for me to stay connected with you during the week, and just a small way of encouragement. If you haven't signed up, I'd love for you to sign up. You can see there, if you text Pastor Dave to 313131, then automatically opt in. And then on Wednesday mornings, I just send out just a short text blast. That's the only thing I use it for. It's not for announcements or anything else, just for a text blast, just a reminder midweek. To encourage you, something you usually read somewhere that I've written down and want to just encourage you small way during the week. Love for you to be a part of that. Okay, before we jump into the message, I want to talk to you about a new ministry that we are beginning here at Grace Point. It's just starting to shape up, so it's going to be taking a little time for us to really put this thing together. It's an ongoing process, but let me just summarize. So, back in, February, I think it was February, when we had snow and many people lost power, right? So we had that week of just a difficulty here in our area, certainly, and beyond. And there are a number of people in our congregation and even beyond that were without power for 2, 3, some 4 days. And so when that was happening, one of the things we as elders wanted to be able to do at that time was to be able to open our church for people who don't have power, to give them a place to sleep, to heat, water, charge phones, bathrooms, those types of things. The challenge was that we came up and realized that we too were without power, so it wouldn't help in any way for us to open the church and have people come. And so, however, that got me to thinking, got us to thinking that we really... I really think it would be great if we could create and develop some type of crisis response team. Is what I, along with the elders, we began thinking about. And so this particular ministry and this team would respond in times of crisis, typically natural disasters, and be able to meet the needs of those in our community in the middle of these challenging times. And so from that, we have created this crisis response ministry team. And you can see on the screens behind me, to be light in the darkness by providing practical and spiritual needs to those impacted by natural disasters and crises in our community. So this is the vision. This is what we want to be able to do. Now, we're starting to shape that up and try to be even more specific in needs and things that we want to have here on campus when something like this happens. Now, again, we're thinking right now that it's big picture community. It's not necessarily to a family per se who has a crisis. Now, if they do, we want to minister there too. It would come in a lot of different ways to be able to minister to that particular family. But if a tornado, wipes through or goes through North Denton up there and a lot of people are displaced and need a place and need water and need food and need blankets, then the vision that I hope can happen at some point is that Grace Point Church in a time of need is always known in our community as light in the darkness. Go there They will help you. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. That we are that church. We want to be, we want to give. You are a giving church. And this is why I think God continues to, I don't know, to press on my heart and the elders, the opportunities for us to give back. Oh, continually give to our community. And so I say practical needs, but also spiritual needs, right? And through meeting practical needs, it opens the door for us to spiritual needs. People come for, you know, the practical needs. So, and this is developing. We have people that I've asked to help me to really to serve on this team. And then when there is an event, if you will, and we'll ask you as a church to come and to be able to minister to people that are, you know, certainly in a time of need. So step one, this is an ongoing ministry developing. Step one is this. We agreed as a crisis response ministry team, Brett Williams, who's an elder, Jeff Ayler, who's an elder, Jared and Tanya Temple are serving there, Wendy Roscoe, Jeremy Wilson, these people that are helping me put this thing together. We have to have these things on campus, right? So when the winter weather hit and power went out and snow hit and ice and all of that, and then towards the end of the week, there was no water. You know, people were having a hard time with water. And so as a church, obviously, we want to be able to, that happens again, to supply water. But if you go to Walmart at that particular time, you couldn't find the water, right? So we have to be prepared in advance. So now we're going to start accumulating different things that people are going to need in a time of crisis, right? And have those here on campus. So when something hits, then we can get the word out. People can come to. And then there's another phase of that is us going to them. But that's, again, this is developing. They can come to Grace Point. There's water there. There's blankets there. There's food there. There's heat there. There's charge your phone there. There's bathroom there. That type of thing. Step one, water. So here's what I'm asking you to do. This is a really long announcement, isn't it? I share the vision a little bit. What I'm asking you to do is next Sunday or next week, I'm going to do it during the week, but next Sunday is to bring, if you would bring, a case of water to Grace Point. Again, practical stuff, right? And we are going to begin to build these supplies. So when something happens, we move, we go. We don't have to go, well, I don't know, let's go find water, let's go buy. No, we have it here, okay? And we can take and go, or they can come and get, however that looks, all right? So that's step one. It's a practical thing, is water. It's always practical to have that on campus and on site. And so I'm going to ask you, and I'll send you an email this week, the next Sunday, or if it's easier during the week, you drop it off. Bring a case of water, and we're going to start stocking that up. So we'll have that on hand. That's step one. We have other things that we're going to ask you to give and to be a part of in this ministry, but let's just start with that, okay? The Crisis Response Ministry. I think it's a great ministry. I'm excited about it. It's a way to be light in darkness, and I pray and always want Grace Point to be that church. In that church. Go there. I'm struggling with depression. Go there. They'll help you. And I need some food. Go there. They'll help you. And on. And that's already happening. But let's continue in greater ways to be light in darkness and to give to people, especially in their time of need. I was leaving my house one morning this past week, and as I was pulling out of our neighborhood off to the right, there's a small wooded area. And because of all the rain, there's this puddle, kind of big, not real big, just pretty good sized puddle. And I saw these two ducks playing in there, a mom duck and a little duck, baby duck. And we live in Lexington Park, and they're along Teasley down from Guyer. And in our subdivision, there's also a big pond, you know, you can fish from it. It's a big pond, but it's over in the corner. We're back on this side. It's over in the corner. And so I see these two ducks in this little puddle. And I wanted to stop, but you'll be glad I didn't, and roll down my window and say to the ducks, Ducks. What are you doing in the puddle? Just over that direction, just a few streets over there. There's this big pond. There's all the water you can imagine. There's other ducks over there you can hang out with. There's this great, it's just over there. So much better than what you're doing right here. I know it seems good to you, but I want to tell you, there's so much more over there. That's really where you were meant to be. And you know, many times I think for us, as I drive off and everything becomes an illustration in my life, how often, even as believers, and we can say as unbelievers too, do this, are we playing in the puddles, if you will, just in the shallows end, when God says, I have much deeper waters here. I have much greater things for you over here. Over here. I mean, what you're doing, it's good, but understand, there's more. There's so much more. There's so much more. And when I wrote this message that I'm actually not going to preach today, I'm going to preach it next week because I got something else today. But it ties into next week. But when I wrote this message on the supremacy of God in our lives, in the world, but in our lives, this is what I think happens many times as we settle and we've convinced ourselves that this is good, and it is good, I think. They're deeper waters with Him for all of us, I think, as we progress spiritually forward in our faith that He wants us to experience. So we think about Colossians chapter 3, where we've been, and we've been talking about old life and new life. So this is all going to connect. So old life and new life. We talked a couple weeks ago about the old life, taking off the old life, and we talked about putting on the new life in Christ. And we have specific biblical examples of what old life looks like and then what the new life looks like. This is how we should walk, the practice. He talks about our life, the choices that we make. As we begin our new life in Christ, we celebrate it with baptism. And then we see how it's manifested in our daily life, Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. So one of the things, though, I want to talk to you about today, the thing I want to talk to you about today and then next week, so if you have this outline here, this is this one. It's packed full of stuff, man, scriptures, and I think it's going to be a good sermon. But you need to turn it over on this side. And you need to take your own notes today. Because this one is going to be next week, maybe. Depends on how this week goes. It's already 8:37, and I haven't started preaching. So if you are a note taker, just turn it over. I mean, this was printed. So the way this works, if you've been with me for a while, you know, is typically I give all my scriptures, outlines, and everything to people who take care of all the stuff behind me in this by Wednesday. So by Wednesday night, I'm manuscripted and it's all ready to roll. But for me, Wednesday to Sunday is a really long time. So I can't just finish my message and go, well, I think I'm done, and not think about it until Sunday morning. It's just it's always like this. And that's why sometimes there's scriptures behind, or there's scriptures aren't behind me that I throw out at you, or I'll add different things because I can't, it's just an ongoing thing. And so this was all set, and I like this message, the supremacy of God. I think it's foundational to our faith. And so But then I start, and that's sad, but then Thursday, and I start thinking about this other direction. And so I'm going to go this other direction because it still fits, old life and new life. And I want to talk to you this morning. I want to go, if you have your Bibles, and I'm gonna spend just a lot of time showing you specific things in the scriptures today. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and so we talk about old life and new life. So I want to talk to you about how old life and new life, how it impacts the issue of anxiety, and how it impacts the issue of worry. And as I was thinking through this, and that's why I paused on Matthew 6 and want to share this. So when we think about Colossians 3, okay, old life and new life. So we would say, and the scriptures would show us, first and foremost, the scriptures would show us that old life would be worry, anxiety, fear. That would be old life, right? I'm not saying we don't battle with it, but we don't want to wear it. We want to find victory over it, right? So that would be old life. Worry, anxiety, fear. So new life. So remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about taking off the old life. Now, when you take off the old life, if you say, well, I want to stop worrying about these things. I don't want to have fear. I don't want to have anxiety all the time. So that's old life. So if we're taking that off, right? The key to this whole thing, Colossians 3 tells us, then we have to put on, which is good. If you're just battling to get out from under it, which is good. I like that. I do that all the time. Okay, that's good. But if you don't put Colossians 3 on, Ephesians 4, if you don't put the new life on, then you're going to step back into the old life. Right? And putting the new life on requires you and I to do something. To do something. It's not just hope for the best. I mean, we take it off, right? And then we have to. So old life, worry, anxiety, fear, let's say. New life, put it on. Seek, pray, cast. That's new life. That's putting on. Okay, I'm getting practical examples of putting. What's that mean, putting on the new life? That's putting on the new life. Okay, I stop to stop worrying, being fearful, anxious. I'm going to take that off, so then I'm going to put on. So let me show you. So I'm going to go Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read through all of it in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Okay, here's new life on. Okay, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, so seek. All right, that's new life. We're going to talk about what that means in just a minute, how specifically we seek. So that's new life on. Okay, then I would go Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, there's old life. Letting worry control me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's new life, right? That's putting on. So I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. We'll talk more in just a minute about that. I'm then praying instead of worrying, old life to new life, all right? And then another example is I go 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So you see, from old life to new life. So those are all new life verses, if you will. Those are all putting on. That's the action, the things that I need to do, to seek, to pray, and to cast. Cast all your anxieties on him. Obviously, the implication is that they're on you right now. You're anxious. You're worried about things. It's like I do, right? And so he's saying cast all of those that you have on from him to you. So those are all new life actions that we must take in order to move forward and to keep that old life off of us. We think about this issue, as you know, it's something I've talked about before, but I'm always reading about, just have a heart for mental health and people struggling with that, and you know that if you've been with me for any while. So I'm pretty consistently reading and talking and even counseling and people who are walking through, you know, challenges with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, things like this. And so this is one that it comes to me on Matthew chapter 6 again. I think, man, I want to share this and show it, old life and new life, all right, so we can have that victory over old life stuff, fear, worry, anxiety. One writer says about anxiety, anxiety is the most predominant form of mental struggles today. And he says, Jesus holds the key to healing. Let's just say amen after that. Amen? Amen. Jesus holds the key to healing. That's new life. Okay, it's new life, man. You want to find victory over this thing? Just like I do in my life? I know it is here that he is in Christ that I will find my healing. Now, there are other practical things and helps you can do. No question about that. But fundamentally, for us as believers, new life means that I'm looking to Jesus for my healing over this old life struggle, if you will. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Notice it does not say that he never struggles with fear. I think we struggle with fear at times. It doesn't mean we won't ever be afraid. But when I am, I respond new life. Put my trust in you. So fear strikes and the battle begins. So the Bible doesn't assume, I would say that I don't think the Bible assumes that we as believers, we will not have anxieties, right? Because, I mean, in biblical times, clearly it was an issue. He was talking about it numerous times in the scriptures. And so I think he is saying to us, the Bible shows us how to fight, if you will, when they strike. The Bible shows us how to walk in new life when it comes to all issues, but also of this issue that we have here with anxiety. So let me read Matthew 6, 25 to 30, and then I want to make some observations. And again, if you're taking notes, I don't even know if I wrote it in takeaways. I'm not even sure what I gave you back there. It might be a sermon from 5 weeks ago. I can't remember. It all runs together. So just hang with us. Trish is on it back there, so she's going to follow me, okay? Verse 25, here's what Jesus says, and this is going to take me about an hour and a half to preach this morning, so I've cleared the second service. They're going to wait on us, all right, because this is really deep. I love this stuff, man. It's just, okay, so here's what he said in verse 25, and we're going to come back to this, okay, because, well, let me just read the scripture. So he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The answer to that question is yes, you are, because some people, their value is, they don't feel valued by the world or by others. One writer, let me just pause, says this, you whom he designed to be unique from the creatures of the earth, you whom he has placed his spirit within, look up and remember that he cares for you and provide for you. God designed you, knows you, and wants to guide you into a fruitful and productive life in Christ. He goes on, verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Now here it is. Now, O you of little faith. Now, this is gonna sting a little bit today. Okay, it does for me as I battle. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, here's the shift of focus. Okay, here's the shift. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's new life. Before, we're seeking things of the world. I would argue maybe even before we're seeking the things of the world to give us victory over anxiety. Now, I'm not, again, there are helpful things, okay? But primarily, our healing is found in Christ. Now, again, other things can help us, and God leads us to those things. I've talked about that before. Counselors, medication in the right context, all these things, okay? I'm not, but first and foremost, seek first. So we understand the spiritual, the importance of Christ. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Now, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Amen to that. So sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, here's what I want you to understand on this. The key to grabbing a hold of this today, Matthew 6, no matter how many times you've heard it or read it, I'm telling you that the key to this is found in one word that we just breeze over real quickly, okay? And it's in verse 25, and it's in verse 34. It's the first word of that verse. It's the word, therefore. Now, I want to show you this. So if you go to verse 25, and you see the word therefore, and he begins to tell us we don't need to be anxious for things, that hinges on what you are. His statements to us, I would argue, that we should not be anxious. Therefore, he says, therefore what? In light of everything I just told you, what did he just tell you? Well, I don't know. I haven't read those verses. Exactly. So to understand, this is why it takes me an hour and a half to preach a message, to understand the fullness of what's being said right there, we have to go back. Therefore, it tells me I need to go back up to the scriptures before to understand. So then, after he said all things, those things, then he says, now, therefore, don't worry about da, 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 da. So there's that connection that I think sometimes we miss, because sometimes we just grab some verses, and I get that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. I mean, that's a verse. I mean, you know, but we could preach that one by itself. But to understand the fullness of what's happening. So then, what I want to do this morning is I'm going to go back up. Okay, so to understand this direction, this command us to not worry about anything and to seek first, we have to understand what is before it. So I'm going to go back up to verse 19. In verse 19, okay, here's what he says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay, now, see? When you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get anxious. See how that connects? When you lay up treasures on earth, you're going to be anxious. You're going to have anxiety because they can slip away, whatever it is, especially if it's a financial piece to the puzzle for you. So that's going to cause you anxiety because your treasure's on more on the earth than it is on... So... Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's 21. Look at this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, now, you can connect that to anxiety. When I'm treasuring the wrong things, my anxiety levels up. So if you're taking notes, takeaway number one is I think this is really a values statement. You know, what do you value most? Which is going to point to my message next week, which is about the supremacy of God in our lives, which is foundational to all this stuff working. I'm kind of backing into it. I start with this today. But what do you value most? I think that's what he's saying here. And he's saying value the right. It goes back to the seek first, the kingdom of God, right? The value of the things. Again, listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't value people or relationships or, you know, I'm not saying it's a values question. What do you value most? Right? Where is your ultimate treasure? It doesn't mean you shouldn't treasure your wife and your kids or the blessings God gives you. I think it's okay to have a job where you're blessed and God's blessed you financially. That's okay to make money. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But it's what you value most. Where's your heart? What do you treasure most? That's the issue he's trying to get at here. It's a values question. Are you treasuring those things more than Christ? And if you are, it's going to lead to anxiety. Have things become idols? You know, one of my idols I've learned, God's convicted me. I worship the idol of comfort. I'll tell you that right now, man. I like to be comfortable. It becomes an idol in my life if I'm not careful. I want everything, talking about ducks, I want all my ducks in a row. Somebody moves the duck, I get irritated. Verse 22, the eye. So that's the values, my treasure. Where is that? So that's important, okay, to get that set right. Otherwise, it leads us to anxiety. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now, that's a whole other sermon right there. But one of the things, there's many you can pull from that, I think, but one of the things we pull from that, I think, is perspective, is how am I seeing things? Am I seeing it through a Colossians 2 scene? And set your mind on things above. Right? How are you seeing? Seek. How am I seeing things? Right, am I down here with this worldly perspective only? Or am I seeing things from a heavenly, from God's perspective that's going to impact and influence certainly my anxiety, or my perspective? How do you see things? And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I would say this is a heart issue, man. Where's your heart? What has your heart? It kind of goes back to verse 19 with your treasure. Where is your heart? And really, there's this double, if you look at these texts, there's this double description of light. If you're laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth, you're walking in the light. If you're serving God and not money, he would say you're walking in the light. And so, again, new life and how we are choosing to walk. I think at the end of the day, it comes back to a supremacy issue, which is why I want to talk about that next week, is the supremacy of God in our lives. Now, it's 8:57. So here's the question that I'll finish with today. What is the root of our anxiety? I asked myself that question. So what's the root of my anxiety? Why am I worried? Why is it controlling my mind? Why am I, my stomach, my sleep, what is my anxiety? And this is what stings a little bit. And how then can that be, how can it be severed? So the answer to that is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, as we just read through, okay? Here's what it says. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is sown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And here it is. Oh, you of little faith. In other words, Jesus is saying to me, Pastor Dave, the root of your anxiety is a lack of faith, specifically in him. To get to the place of health and healing and faith, these things mentioned in the previous passages must be set in my heart. I would argue that then leads me to a place of belief and a place of faith, because what happens is then in my life and maybe in your unbelief starts to get the upper hand. And then Satan begins to attack in that way, just in Genesis 2, just like he did with Adam and Eve, to question God, the goodness of God, to doubt God. And I start to battle unbelief. Will he answer my prayer? Will he? I'm not sure he will hear me. I don't know. And it leads me to great anxiety. I'm going to give you, and then we're going to close. Okay, this is super practical, and then I want to pray. There's more here, but just for time's sake, when anxiety strikes, it doesn't mean we're being faithless, though. I think it means our faith is being attacked. So there's six things that I think are very practical that I'm just going to mention to you today, because I don't want to just leave you there to help you. And then I'll bring this all into the supremacy of God next week, and how once that's set, then these things, you know, they fit together so well. So six things to do. Because of time, I'm not going to dwell with your worry. If you're taking notes here, number one, first of all, these are very practical. Again, you have to name the pressure. So you have to recognize, what is it that's bringing me anxiety? What is it that you are worrying about? What are the things that tend to create anxiety in you? So you have to name that pressure. I think that's the beginning point of finding victory too, under all we've shared, right? The practical side under the authority of the scriptures, right, is to name that, right, what that is. Number two, I think you identify what it does. So with anxiety, we have certain, many times very physical, emotional responses to anxiety. So we have to identify what those are, and then when those begin to happen, it's a recognition again that old life, if you will, is gripping me, so I need to move to new life intention, right? To do things. New life things. Seek, pray, cast. Number three, you have to ask yourself, why? Why am I anxious? Which goes back to verse 30, the issue of unbelief. Okay, and here's why. Many times we're anxious. Many times we're anxious because even as believers, in that moment, in that time, we have forgotten God. Right? So we're calculating without him, if you will. We've forgotten God. So ask yourself. That's the opportunity to begin to shift the focus. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Number four, you need to engage your mind with the things of God. That's new life. We just talked about number five. You talk to God, so pray. I mentioned that. Again, another new life step. And then number six, serve others, care for someone else, give away. When life is tough and days are dark, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but we know it's always the right thing and the right time to give ourselves away, to serve others. That helps, I think. It's a new life stop. When we walk in that new life, right, we find victory in Christ. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Our worship team will come. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray and ask that you just take what's been shared from your word, first and foremost, from your word and then from my heart, that you would minister, God. Just give people who are dealing with this issue just hope. that there's certainly hope and healing in Jesus. In Jesus, that it all points to Him. It's real. God, they're deeper waters. There's abundant life. There's transformation. There's healing. There's hope. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So we are thankful today, God, for you. For your faithfulness, God. And may we joyfully together, individually and together as a church, seek first your kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So may that be the supremacy of our hearts and our minds today, God. May we just settle there, God. Rest there. That you is supreme in our life, and the supremacy of you over this world and also in our life every day. So we're grateful. So we in turn now, we worship you, God, with song and praise and worship, because you are supreme over all things, God. We're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.